The Sentai Review, Episode 17, Boom Studios, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Issue 0. So for those of you that don't know, I am a huge comic book fan, and it just so happens that Boom Studios, now I don't know much about this, I've never exactly sat down and read Boom Studios comic books that much, however, I'm at the comic book store and I happen to see this really cool cover of the Green Ranger from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and it immediately sparks my interest. I go over and I grab the book. And I start going through it, and immediately I'm like, holy crap, this is something that I want. Like, it was instant. So let me go ahead and go through this book a little bit here, and I'm going to talk about it. One thing, this is from Boom Studios. It's relatively new. I don't even believe issue 2 is out yet. But it was written by Kyle Higgins, illustrated by Hendry Prasetya. And then the colors were by Matt Herms, and the letters by Ed Dukeshire. So, there we go. It actually starts out pretty graphic for Power Rangers. It shows the Green Ranger, and he's standing over the bodies of all the Rangers, and there's even some, like, blood specks on Kimberly's hand, her glove, and Trini's sitting there, and her visor's broken in. And Rita's standing behind the Green Ranger talking about how great he's done. And then he takes off his helmet and he puts it down by his chest and he says, I only live to serve you. And then it flashes to him driving in the car with Jason. This is supposed to be literally like a week or so after they save Tommy. So they're taking all continuity of the point up to where the Green Ranger showed up and where he was rescued. And literally, the next episode is replaced by this new comic book continuity, is what they're driving at here. And it works, for what it's worth. The artwork is very good. It shows Jason and Tommy, and they're driving to school. He's driving Tommy to school. And Jason tells him, man, you haven't said anything. And you can see that Rita's sitting in the back seat. Now, nobody else can see this, but she is still kind of infecting Tommy. She's talking to him, and she keeps following him around throughout the course of the day, and she's nagging at him and telling him things like, and now the Red Ranger's getting suspicious, uh-oh, or, she says that he's getting suspicious, and then she says it's quite a little clique they have, isn't it? Isn't that's going to be hard to break? Assuming they even want you to be a part of it, and then it shows her up at the palace, and I thought this was cool because in the comic book, it shows the palace, and it says Bandora's Palace on it. I thought that was a cool little thing, and she walks down, she talks to Finster, and then Finster makes a monster. The monster shows up, it's wrecking the city, there's an alarm that goes off, they start telling all the kids to report to the gymnasium, the Rangers run out the front door, they morph. They immediately call the Megazords because this is like a gigantic, like Godzilla-like monster tearing up the city, and they go to fight it. Well, at first they can't harm the thing because it has like these plates covering its body that makes it nearly indestructible. Jason says that he'd like to pull it away from the city because they're too close to the bridge, and then Tommy basically says, no, I can handle this. He attacks it with the Dragon Zord. They end up fighting next to the bridge. So he's not really following orders well. And then Rita's in the cockpit with him, like, telling him stuff. She keeps being like, come on, Tommy. You're in a crunch. And she keeps telling him things like, they're not going to trust you if you don't move fast and things like that. So then somehow she manages to seize the controls on the Dragon Zord, and he can't get it to work right. and the Megazord's having trouble holding the monster, because what they did was they kind of put the monster in like to a type of full Nelson, and if they could tail whip under the plates and drill up into the monster, they can kill it. Well, he does get it to work, but the Dragonzord acts funny because of the way the controls were seized. It causes him to destroy the monster, but then his tail whips back and destroys the bridge, and all these cars start falling off, and the people are like, oh my god! So, it's a big problem right there. Then Kimberly decides to fly out on her own. It's really cool when it gets to this part, because it shows how the Zords can operate independently. Now, right here, I'm sorry, but this is something that I gotta do this, okay? So I'm gonna take a little break right here to drop some contact information, and then we're gonna jump back into this. Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone. Alright, sorry about that. The new format makes it a little weird. I'm still trying to figure out exactly where I should be putting contact information and things like that towards the front of the episode. And I probably should have said it before I even started reading the book, but it's in here now, so that's cool. Now, right after, like I said, the bridge gets destroyed, these cars fall off the bridge, Kimberly actually ejects, so the pterodactyl actually comes off of the chest of the Megazord and flies, and the cars land on top of her, and then she skids across the river, delivering the cars to somewhere where they can drive off safe, which I thought was really cool because it shows the Rangers having their own moments. Their Zords are useful instead of just the Tyrannosaurus, the Megazord, and the Dragonzord. They then go and talk to Zordon. They talk about how Tommy wasn't taking orders well. They have a little bit of a scuffle, nothing too serious, but it does show that there's a little bit of dissension between Tommy and Jason, where I'm thinking that they're kind of hinting that Jason might believe that the Green Ranger was not completely under the influence, that maybe there really is something dark in Tommy that makes him act this specific way. And I can't tell if they're going to capitalize that on that or not, but it seems to be a really cool aspect that they're already developing characters this much. You then see Scorpina, and she's like rowing this boat out into the middle of the Angel Grove Lake or river or whatever that is. She finds this crystal, takes it up to Rita, and then she says, "I found it." And then Rita's like, "Good." And she's like, "Can I ask, what is the crystal?" And then Rita just says, "It's our new beginning." And then it cuts to a side adventure. Now, at the end of the book, there are side adventures that don't necessarily deal with the main story, but are still kind of neat. There's a Bulk and Skull side adventure where they're in a detention, and then they kind of sneak out of detention, and they find Kimberly, Trini, and a new girl who I don't recognize. Ronnie is what they call her. Anyways, they stop by and they talk to those girls, and the girls kind of brush them off. And as the girls are walking away, they're talking about the Power Rangers, and Bulk is like, "That's it. If we were as cool as the Power Rangers, we would get dates." So now, he's like, "That's it. There's only one way to get them to like us. We'll have to be better heroes than the Rangers." And then Skull is like, "Yeah, wait, how are we going to do that?" So then it ends. It's like a real quick little thing. It's like a two-page mini comic that they get in the middle of the comics. The way this is broken down, at first, when I flipped through the book without reading it, I wasn't too happy with it. But I am now that I've actually sat and read it. You get the main story, then you get a Bulk and Skull mini story, then you get a small Ranger adventure at the end of the book. The small Ranger adventure is pretty cool. It's Goldar, and he's fighting against the Green Ranger, and he has the Green Ranger cornered. Rita throws down this evil mist so that the other Rangers can't detect each other. And then Jason comes jumping out of the mist attacking Goldar, so now it's green and red against Goldar, and they seem to be taking the edge that Goldar is not the joke that he was in the American series. They seem to be pulling from the Sentai aspect that these Rangers are actually having trouble. He's not a joke. They're having a difficult time fighting him. During that time, they call for help. Billy finds a way to triangulate their position through the mist, but it's too late. Goldar grows, and he's about to stomp the Green Red Ranger to death when the Sabertooth Tiger jumps in front of it, kind of like under it, so that while he's about to stomp them, he stomps on it, and its legs kind of buckle a bit, but it saves the two Rangers. And then right after that, she opens fire at Goldar through her laser tail thing, and then jumps up, kind of like scratching him. He kind of takes a step back, and as he gets ready to hit her, Billy latches on with the two horn things. He shoots the two horns out of the Triceratops and chains him up and starts pulling him backwards, and Kimberly flies in and she starts shooting lasers. He gets hit by the first lasers, then blocks one with his sword and cuts the tail of the pterodactyl. And as she's kind of limping away, because she starts kind of going down, like she's got to land the pterodactyl. It's in bad shape now. And as she's doing that, he goes to take a step forward to finish her off, and his leg freezes because the mastodon is freezing his leg. And he turns around and he goes to swing at the mastodon, but the mastodon's too far away because he kind of backs up as he blows the ice onto Goldar's leg. And then the Tyrannosaurus steps down in front of Goldar, and as he's chipping away at the ice trying to get himself out, they form the Megazord. He finally breaks off the ice from his leg, steps forward, and realizes that he's surrounded by the Dragonzord and the Megazord. And then, of course, it just shows Goldar being like, gulp, and I think they leave it to our imaginations that he probably ran away, because Goldar tended to do that. Now, in the back of the book, they say that they're also going to be releasing something in May called Pink, which I'm guessing is a book that's just going to follow the Pink Ranger by herself. And I'm okay with that. I'm into that. There is a second issue already. There's issue 0 and issue 1. This was issue 0 that I just talked about. And so far, I'm really digging it. So, three questions. Question 1, what did I like the most about this book? And if I have to tag it down to something specific, I'm telling you, the thing I like the most is the serious attitude that seemed to flow through the entire story. And that means something, because Power Rangers is most often taken with kind of a cheeky value. It's cheesy and it's cheeky, and that's kind of that's one of the things we kind of appreciate about it. In a way, it's one of the things that kept us with it, is because while it is neat and it's got a lot of martial arts action, it's just kind of cheesy enough and childish enough to keep us in our own nostalgia. And for that matter, like a lot of us now that grew up with it, we now have kids and we're introducing our kids to it. And it's neat to be able to sit there and see humor that they enjoy on a specific level and that we enjoy on a different level now. Almost like the Batman 66 series. It kind of is like that. Like, when I was a kid, I took that show very seriously. And it was very serious. Then when I grew up, I saw the cheekiness of it, and I appreciate it for a different reason. And this has kind of got the same thing going on. But the comic book is different. The comic book kind of knows that the people that are going to be buying this are people that grew up with it. So it's putting a more realistic and interesting spin on it while still keeping with the original ideals. So they're not getting graphic. They're not like that mini movie that came out where the Rangers were at war and Zack was getting high on drugs and getting killed, and like the Green Ranger was some weird renegade and the Red Ranger had switched sides and was working for the Machine Empire and had a machine leg. And like, it's not that, which, don't misunderstand what I've said. I was okay with that little mini movie. It was nice to see kind of an edgy Power Rangers, but this is really cool in the fact that it maintains everything that I grew up with, but takes it seriously. Question 2, what did I dislike about this issue. And quite frankly, almost nothing. I don't like all the variant cover stuff. I have changed in the way that I enjoy collecting, and I more collect now for the stories than I do the single issues and multiple covers and shiny this and first appearance of that. I don't really care. I like to buy the essentials books and just kind of read the histories. And like, my favorite comic book is the Green Lantern series, and I don't really buy any single issues. The only thing I buy is the events. So I buy the volumes of the new stuff. So I have all six volumes of the new DC 52, and then I have all the different events like the Sinestro War and stuff like that. And I enjoy reading them that way. I can start and finish them, and I enjoy them, and I have a good time while I read them. And there's no reason for me where I am today to concern myself with how many single issues I can get. Just doesn't do it for me anymore. My collection attitude has changed. I'm into so many things that it's better for me just to be able to read the stories. Like, I prefer buying the Dragon Ball multi-bust stuff, and I like having the Dance and the Vampire books that are a little bigger, and they're basically three books in one. This is the kind of attitude that I have. So if I have to say that I don't like something, I don't like all the variant covers. And even though I do like it, I have to say that I know a lot of people will be turned off by the fact that there are three different stories in this one book. All three of them were, I believe, written by different people, and all three of them, I believe, were drawn by different people. I'm almost 100% positive of that. And as a matter of fact, let me check one more time. And yeah, here it is. The Bulk and Skull Adventure is written by Steve Orlando and illustrated by Corin Howell, which is not the same two guys that did the other one, that did the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And then What Time Is It was the Gold Arch Hail I was telling you about, and that's written by Marifred. I'm sorry, his name is really, this is M-A-I-R-G-H-R-E-A-D Scott. I'm sorry, M. Scott. There. And then Daniel Bylis. And those guys did the other one. So you've got three different teams working on three different books in one book. And while it doesn't bother me, I'm sure it's going to bother some other people. Last question. Should you A, buy this book, or if we were talking about an older issue, does it stand the test of time? Well, since I can't say can it doesn't stand the test of time because it just showed up, I will say that I would tell you to buy this book. Like easily, hands down, I would tell you to buy this book. I've already read the first one, and I'm going to come in here and talk about that in an episode or two, but this was issue zero, and it was really cool. It was exciting to see the old Rangers again. It was neat to kind of see a new episode with the same characters that I grew up with that felt like a Power Rangers episode taken seriously. In fact, we discussed on the YouTube that in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, there are certain episodes that stand out that make you feel like you're watching a completely different show, and then all of a sudden you go back to the lightheartedness, and like I said, it's like two different shows. Well, this was kind of like this. This felt like Power Rangers, but it felt like what I imagined Power Rangers was when I was a kid. So it brought back that feeling of this is serious, and that was really cool because it allowed me to tap back into my childhood. So that was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Issue Zero by Boom Studios, and I'm telling you guys, it was awesome. Yeah, there's not much else to say here. Hope you guys enjoyed this video. And later on.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast?
If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.